Well, for me, it's good morning, everybody. I'm Sandra, compulsive overeater, and I'm very honored to have been asked to speak today. What I was like. Always a fat child. My mother called me short and dumpy, and I never minded being short, but to this day, if I feel badly about myself, I will, especially weight-wise, I will feel dumpy. And I think that's what contributed to me having a very poor body image and body dysmorphia. I forgot some of my notes that I made. I was always eating, especially when I turned a young teenager, because that's when I noticed mostly other people, especially boys. And I always felt very out of place. I had a very mature body, and that contributed to a lot of the older boys making moves on me, and it was traumatic for me. And as I look back on it, the lessons that I've learned are always in retrospect. So as I look back on it, I see that a bigger body would distract people from me. It didn't, but I had hoped that it would. I did eat compulsively all through the years. That's not to say that I don't do that recently, but very, very rarely. So I just want to be honest about that. When I say recently, I mean far more than 30 days ago. Basically, I believed I was a body size and a body number. And so I made my higher power the scale and the size of my clothing. And in retrospect, again, that's because that's what I was taught to believe. I'm the 1941 model, and so I grew up with Twiggy, whom I look at now as a broomstick, but I thought that that was what was supposed to be. Advertising on TV and in magazines and in dress sizes was the mean for me, and I always failed. I went on many diets, you name them, I was on them at least once, some of them more than once. And I must admit, I was very successful and I lost weight. However, I couldn't keep the weight loss. I always went back and more. And so I was a yo-yo dieter. So I was never 100 pounds overweight, but the most I was overweight was 50 pounds. And then I would lose 20, gain 30, lose 5, gain 7. I even went through an anorexic period with, it's hard to believe, but I got down to 350 calories a day. And by the grace of God, I did not stay there because I kept getting dizzy and lightheaded and feeling sick. And I knew that that was sick, and got away from that. But I loved it because when I was in it, I had the illusion of control. Just watch me, I don't eat that, even though I was hungry. What happened? Back in 1975, a good friend of mine had lost a lot of weight. I asked her how she did it, and she said she went to Overeaters Anonymous. I said, "What is that?" And she said, "I don't want to tell you anything about it. Just go. It's a heavy experience." And so I went. And in Orange County, New York, that meeting had started only 1 month ago. And so they needed to have speakers come from other counties. And sometimes we had to have AA speakers come. I wasn't one of those who was desperate, other than knowing that I needed to lose weight. I was the one that just felt like I needed to find the right diet. And I did. I walked in, They handed me gray sheet, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, weighed and measured. I have to admit that I never felt as guilty or ashamed as when I broke abstinence with gray sheet. You weren't allowed to speak at a meeting unless you had 30 days back-to-back abstinence. And you just couldn't share anything. And it was very, very difficult. But I must say that through these 50 years, I never left OA. Many people do and come back. I always stayed because I'm a hopeful, usually positive person. I had no idea what they were talking about when they mentioned God. That meant absolutely nothing to me because I didn't grow up with a God. The only God I had was food and the scale. And I have to admit that that all changed, but it took many years for it to change and through some wonderful sponsors that helped me. I came to believe in a power greater than myself. It was not food. It was something internal because I'm a big, big book person. And when I came in, it was the second edition. And they kept talking about the power, the higher power being internal, the great power within. And even in the back of the big book, in the appendix two, where it mentioned within, an unsuspected inner resource. And so I started looking within, and that's where I found my higher power. I always and still do call the God of my non-understanding, not God of my understanding, because I don't understand God. I have no idea why this higher power works, how this higher power works, when it works, where it works. I don't understand any of it except that this higher power works. And the way my higher power works is I always ask for guidance and direction. I do not ask for anything in particular. I might say, you know, God, I'm struggling with X, and I'm asking you for guidance and direction with X. And that's it. That's my prayer. Not that I don't say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer and all the other prayers in the book, but those are the two that work for me consistently. And for some reason, I can't explain how it works, but it does work. And I get an idea, or I hear something from somebody else, I read something. Most often, I get an inner sense to do something, or in most cases, to not do something. I know this is a program of action, and I take the action that is required of me. However, most times it's inaction. It's what not to say, it's what not to eat. I've gone through the steps many, many times. It took me a long time to understand the simplest of concepts. But they're working for me now. So I'd like to spend the rest of my time on talking about what I'm like now, because today is the day that counts for me. I already said that I found the God of my non-understanding from the big book within. And that's what I trust today. And every time I got the guidance and direction of what to do or not to do, that helped to build my trust and my faith. And the more I trusted my faith, the more I came to believe and utilize that. I also look back in retrospect and see that something changed my life and kept me from things that I didn't want to happen. I was able to graduate from school. I found out that I wasn't stupid just recently. which is what I thought I was, but that I was a victim of ADD. And so I never had focus when I was in school. My mind would wander. And I'm talking about from the early grades, like third grade, fourth grade. And so I missed what most of the teachers would be saying because my mind concentrated on something else and I just didn't hear what the instructor in college or the teacher in the early grades was saying. I could read three pages in a row in any book. It could be a fascinating book. And I had no idea what those three pages said, not one word. So I'd have to go back and reread it. And sometimes, many times, so I could try to remember what I read. So I always had that problem. I still do. Try to get help with it, and it just doesn't make a difference. So I have decided that since I can't control it and it just won't change no matter what, I'm learning just to accept it. And that has made my life so much easier because I don't criticize myself and call myself stupid and slow and all the other things that I did in my life. Today, I'm able to identify my triggers. One of my biggest triggers in the past was the more I ate, the more I ate. Volume was just horrible for me. It didn't make a difference if it was one extra carrot or if it was a binge. But the more I ate, I just couldn't stop. And I remember from the Big Book, instead of the 20 questions that I came in with, I think there's now 15 questions that you ask if you're a compulsive overeater. But in 75, there were 20 questions. And instead of those 20 questions, which I answered yes to most of them, I saw in the Big Book where it says, if when you start, you cannot stop, or when you stop, you cannot start again. That was me. And I just considered myself a compulsive overeater failure. Today, I rarely have the obsession, so my eating is sane. I eat slowly. I usually take half home when I go to a restaurant because the portions are so large, too large for me. I'm only 5 feet, so I don't need as much as somebody who has a heavier body and is taller. And I take no seconds. Sometimes what I do is I take a tiny portion and then I just take another little extra bit. But I never, or I try never to go over what I intuitively know is a normal portion for me. I no longer eat the red foods that I had. I don't know if you mentioned foods specifically on this, at this meeting, but it was quite a few red light foods in one particular area, and I don't eat them anymore. At one point in my life, I was off of all of those foods for 36 years and went back. And I went back. So my message is, let me have done that for you. I went back with it just this once, and it was fine. I was able to eat one, and that was the end of it for about 3 weeks. Then I ate one more. 2 weeks later, I ate two more. And then I was back into it. And I was back into it for several years, maybe 6 years. And now I'm off of all that category of foods. Now it's coming on 7 years. But it's only for today. I remember hearing at an AA meeting, the one who has the longest sobriety is the one who got up earliest in the morning. And that's how I feel about my abstinence. And I did get up at 4:15 this morning. So I've been abstinent for, I don't know, an hour and a half. And that's my abstinence. The I eat slowly was, I used to eat so fast that I put food in my mouth before I swallowed what was in there. And I knew I didn't want to do that anymore.
That's 5 minutes, Sandra.
Oh, thank
left.
you. And I asked this higher power to help me with that. And that happened just one day. And now I cannot eat quickly when I'm the last one to finish my meal. I rarely have the obsession, so my eating is sane. And that's when I realized the second step didn't say I would be restored to a good weight. It said I'd be restored to sanity. And yo-yo eating was not sane, and many other areas of my life were not sane. But today, I truly feel like I'm sane because I get the message when I'm not. With life's issues and what I need or I want a decision, I only ask for that guidance and direction. So I must always come back to it because that's how I live and it just happens. And I'm learning to follow it, and that's step 11 to me. My character defects were always a terrible neediness. I needed to be noticed and not rejected. A big body, I would be noticed. I had poor self-esteem, body dysmorphia. I always lived in the future with fear. I went to bed every night with guilt and shame about overeating and my life, things I did and thought, and I woke up every morning with fear that it wouldn't go away. That does not happen today. Today I go to bed and I sleep well. When I put TOO in front of anything, I know that I'm out of balance. Just like too hot, you burn your mouth, too cold, spicy gives me the chills, too happy, too sad, too anything. I'm out of balance and I'm learning how to be a balanced person. I went from powerlessness in step one to being empowered in step 12. And I use the who and not the how in appendix two. First, I must be willing. Without willingness, I lie to myself and I don't take one day at a time. So I must be willing first. My higher power restores me to sanity with food and now with relationships. I have a better marriage. I just have better friendships. I'm able to accept people as they are. I don't try to change anybody. I started as a yo-yo dieter. I no longer do that. I don't weigh myself. I'm the same size. I never was. I had three sizes in the closet. When I got married, I married two times. Both times I had a horrible problem 3 weeks before the wedding of overeating and the dress not fitting, but I squeezed into them. And I want to end with I live a good life today, and it's all due to this program. The steps are a formula for me to follow, and I have to follow that formula in order. And I'm just so happy to know that I can go to my closet, and if something doesn't fit quite like it did, then I just know that I turn it over, I ask for guidance and direction, and within a few days, my clothes fit the way they always did. So it's a really glorious life that I live. So thank you for listening. And I appreciate that I was able to be here and share my story.